The Gem State gets its name from potato production. However, there are nearly 90 craft breweries across the entire state of Idaho, and more than a dozen more are in the planning. Now, that's according to the Idaho Craft Beer Culture Facebook page. Hops are a critical ingredient in beer. At a minimum, it balances out the sugary sweetness of malted barley, and in larger amounts, it provides the bitter, and in more recent years, the citrusy flavor of IPAs. And Idaho Farms produce the second most hops in the country. So joining us today to talk about the business of hops and beer are Diane Gooding from Gooding Farms and Wilder, Jeff Allworth, author and journalist who runs the Beervana blog, and Stan Hieronymus, author of the book For the Love of Hops. Thanks, everyone, for being here today.
Thanks.
Our pleasure.
My pleasure.
So, Diane, can I start the conversation with you? There's always been hops grown here in Idaho, but production really started to take off, it seems, about a decade ago. And hop production here, I read, is up 430% since 2012. In fact, surpassing Oregon in terms of total production. So that gap has only widened since that happened. Why has the growth happened here and happened so quickly?
Well, that's a great question. You know, we live in a really beautiful valley and have great irrigation rights, and semi-arid environment is great for hop cultivation. There's less disease persistence here compared to, say, a more humid environment, maybe on the coastlines or what have you. And, you know, we have available acreage and a fairly young grower base. So all that kind of combination has really enabled us to kind of maximize the opportunity that the expansion of craft beer and a little bit higher dose hop dosing rates in the beer has been a great opportunity for the growers here, and we've been able to capitalize on it.
And Jeff, you wrote in your blog that the widening production gap between Idaho and Oregon is deceiving. Why is that?
Yeah, as a proud Oregonian, I've always been a little alarmed that the state I was born in, Idaho, has been overtaking us. And when I looked at the stats, I was surprised to see that it's really a function of Idaho just growing faster. Oregon, much like Idaho, has grown enormously in the last 10 years. As the style of beer that people drink in America has really shifted. So Oregon has just grown more slowly, but it's still grown, which is heartening for those of us in the Willamette Valley who like to go see the hops growing around here.
And then Stan, could you briefly break down for us how the way brewers are using hops has changed and is continuing to change?
Well, the easiest thing to say is they're using a lot more. That's because of hop forward beers. So there was a time, if you go back 20 years ago, which I think is important to do, because you can talk about 2012 for Idaho, but that was kind of the bottom of an up and down sine wave. So in 2002, for instance, Idaho had more than 3,300 acres of hops, and that was down to 2,600 acres of hops in 2012. But nonetheless, at that time, Idaho produced 11.5% of the hops in the country, and now it's 16% of the hops in the country, and that is certainly driven by brewers who 20 years ago were almost never dry hopping their beers. That's adding hops post fermentation, and they used a little more than a barrel, a pound per barrel in the production process, and now they may dry hop with 4 pounds per barrel. So that's really loaded it in there. That's why you can, and it's specific hop varieties, which Idaho's been growing a lot more of.
And Diane, you're part of the Hop Research Council. So how does feedback from brewers or even your customers impact the kind of research that's done with hops? And also, how is the research and then the plant breeding work done today going to then maybe influence the beer of tomorrow?
Yeah, it's all super critical. You know, the customer really drives the state as well as national production based on varieties. And I kind of liken hops as spices, like how you would utilize them in cooking. So, you know, for a Asian recipe, maybe you'll have some soy sauce and some garlic. You know, for Italian, you're using some different spices, and that all is kind of similar to the beer making process, and where certain recipes are calling for certain flavors or what have you. And everybody's always looking to press the envelope for what's new, what's next. And that's really kind of where hop research and hop breeding kind of rubber meets the road with the growers, the dealer processors, as well as the end user being the brewer. And, you know, we'll have people out to the farm, analyze plots from agronomic side, you know, the agriculture side, production side, mm-hmm. as well as flavor and aroma, because all of those impart, you know, positively, hopefully, into the beer. And, you know, just kind of one neat additional comment about Idaho in reference to other areas. A lot of areas are growing hops now outside of Idaho, Washington, Oregon, and it's just a very few of those get a first year crop. So we can kind of fast track and expedite the selection process to a degree, because we do get the summers generally are conducive enough for first season harvest, which can kind of give you a leg up on analyzing and hopefully coming up with some new and exciting flavors and aromas for the market.
So Jeff, you mused on Twitter about a year ago that the marketing around some of these popular hop varieties might actually be forcing brewers into a bit of a corner. What kind of response did you get to that idea from folks who make beer?
Well, yeah, it's, you know, beer Twitter is one of those places non-beer fans should never go. There's a lot. you really get into the deep weeds there. But, you know, just like any consumer product, consumers drive, what brewers make, what the producers make. And there are certain flavor profiles that consumers are really enamored with right now. So that means that the hops that deliver those flavor profiles are the ones that are really popular. But if you happen to like a different hop profile, you know, if you like something that's more berry and less citrus, then you may have a harder time finding that profile, because a few hop varieties have become really, really popular and are found in most of the IPAs that you will find in your local tap room. So I think brewers always grumble that they don't get to make the beers they want to make, because customers keep buying the beers, these other popular beers. But I think in general, everybody's pretty happy with the development of beer over the last decade in the United States and all the excitement around the United States really has kind of developed a new way of brewing to accommodate these hops. And these in the United States, we have especially intense flavors that come from our hops. So the whole industry is oriented around that. And I think in general, brewers are pretty happy. So they may grumble a little bit, but it's a pretty good development.
And speaking of the last decade, I mean, the price per pound of harvested hops has more than doubled. It did actually go down a little bit last year. But Diane, what are the cost pressures your operations are facing right now?
You know, it's a pretty challenging environment. As we all know, I think this is not just isolated to hops nor agriculture. You know, inflation and input costs are way up as much as 30-50% in some categories. So it really it puts pressure on the producer, and eventually will, you know, you may see some beer prices come up. I think you've already seen some beer prices come up because of the other impacts there. And, you know, we're just trying to close our circle as much as possible and incorporate composting and grazing animals and cover cropping regimes into our system to try to make it as resilient as possible. So hopefully we can actually reduce some inputs and therefore still have a really high quality product, but maybe save a little bit or reduce some things on the input side.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk about what's happening in Russia and Ukraine right now, because there is kind of a trickle-down effect of it impacting the market. So I have questions for each of you, but how will the rising price of commodities like we've seen with wheat and corn impact the price of beer? So with that said, Diane, let me start with you. Will it affect your current contracts?
Most hop contracts are multi-year. So this particular year, you know, we were fairly well set. We may see some, you know, actually what we're a little concerned about is actually a reduction in demand because of trade disruption because of the war and whatnot. So that's very concerning. About 60% of the U.S. crop gets exported, actually. So we're definitely keeping a really close eye on how that will affect and influence things in the coming years. You know, I my crystal ball's a little cracked today, so you'll have to excuse me. I'm not quite sure yet.
No, I understand that. I think a lot of people are in that space. So, Jeff, any idea how last year's barley crop could factor into to the war in Ukraine?
Yeah, North America had a really bad barley crop last year in 2021, the 2021 harvest. It was very small, and it wasn't particularly favorable in the sense of agronomics. What Diane was talking about earlier, it's higher protein, which is not good for brewers. So that, even leaving aside the fact that Ukraine, which is a big barley producer, is being invaded right now, was going to cause a pretty big disruption in the brewing industry. And if you talk to brewers, you don't see this so much in the press, but if you talk to brewers, they're really concerned about the price of barley going forward.
And then, Stan, what about the skyrocketing price of fertilizer? This is also something that maybe we haven't seen talked about in mainstream media, but this could also impact the bottom line, the price of beer.
Yep. Curiously, it actually hit last year, and just at a time when hop farmers thought they had it under control. Now you have that Russia produces much of what's needed to make fertilizer. So fertilizer prices may go back up as well. But I think the bigger issues, and this could go when you're talking about Oregon versus Idaho, labor prices are cheaper in Idaho than Oregon, for instance. So mandates towards minimum wages, the ability to get workers, and then the whole sustainability part, which Diane was talking about, but is going to be a bigger factor as well. And that is, as American farmers want to export their hops to Europe, for instance, Europe is starting to look much less favorably on certain insecticides, for instance, that are used in spraying the hops. So there's a lot of other potential price pressure as well.
And Stan, before we wrap up, where do you see the hop industry going next? I mean, would you have predicted what's happened now 5 or 10 years ago? I mean, barring what's going on with the invasion of Ukraine right now.
Well, that would be barring that. At what point do brewers start to use hops more sensibly? That has to be a concern for hop farmers as they become more efficient. But on the other hand, for instance, the scientists who are breeding hops are doing everything so to come up with hops that do not need to be sprayed as much, don't need as much water, are more heat resistant. So going forward, you're going to have two things: creating more interesting aromas, and at the same time, having hop varieties that are much more agronomically sound.
What a fascinating conversation. I thank all three of you for joining us today. We've been talking with Stan Hynonymous, author of the book For the Love of Hops, Jeff Allworth, author and journalist who runs the Beervana blog, and Diane Gooding from Gooding Farms and Wilder. Thank you all for taking a few minutes to update us on what's become a rapidly, incredibly important crop to the state of Idaho. So thank you for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Up next, a look at this year's Storyfort.